Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk Radio every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And actually, today we are live. It's not a rebroadcast. We are live. And it's a beautiful day in Southern California. And I wanted to say a big shout-out to all you people that have been supporting the show. We're still going strong, and we're definitely going to recalibrate the show and bring you some really fresh material and bring you, a really solid show. And just want to say thank you guys for really supporting us and really, listen to the archives. And we definitely encourage you guys to call in today. We've got a really good topic and got a little bit of a change to, the hosting of today's show, and it should be pretty special. So with that said, I want to introduce my co-hosts for this evening, Mr. Monty Ambrose. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Raz?
I'm doing good, bro. man, me and you had a meeting last night, man, and it was definitely refreshing to really talk with you, bro. And it was like iron sharpens iron, and it was a very positive meeting, a meeting that really injected a lot of positivity and hope and replenishment, man. You know what I'm saying? What do you think about that, bro?
Oh no, I was there, and I believe it. And that's another thing, when I left. I have to say that I felt the same way because, just as you said, iron does sharpen iron. There's plenty of scripture that tells you that we're to be comforting each other and reminding each other and helping each other through different sorts of struggles by, encouraging each other that the Father is faithful, that, we're already living in victory, and that despite what things look like, we have help that that no situation can overtake or withstand. And so it's just when we get together as believers, that's what we're supposed to be about. And that's what the fellowship in the book of Acts was really about. If there's any Bible readers out there, you'll realize once you start reading the book of Acts that, the body of believers took care of each other. That term fellowship has been kind of despised if you're dealing with it from the institution's point of view, because the world thinks that believers go to church and get together a couple times a week. But the Bible says that the believers are the church, and they live and function together all the time, every day. And so you know, in the fellowship is where we get our encouragement, where we get our lessons, where we get, you know, impartation, and, you know, all these things happen in the fellowship, and the fellowship is supposed to happen all the time. And so, yeah, I feel the same way about the meeting. Just as much as I was encouraging you, you are encouraging me. So, you know, it's a blessing. That's pretty much what we're here for.
You know, definitely, and it's important, Ronnie, to, you know, to have, you know, it's funny, you know, we're going to get into today's topic in a second, but, I mean, having a covenant friendship that's based on a true foundation enables you to enjoy those kind of privileges where, you know, of course, you know, in this negative world we live in, you know, so much toxicity and so much things that can really, you know, can take a hold of your mind and really depress you or you know, we're human. And you need people around you that can really build you up, you know what I'm saying? You need people that can,
yep,
can edify you, even when you missed it, but they can remind you and really, you know, encourage you to bring out the greatness in you, the greatness that God, they see you as God sees you. But when you have,
yeah,
people that are putting you down and trying to, you know, really, you know, really trying to get over you, then of course that's evident that that's not a relationship that is based upon a true foundation. So I just want to put that out there. But yeah, man, unfortunately we don't have Nikki in the building today, which is good, which is okay. You know, she's going to be back next week, and I think right now she's trying to put together an entertainment that in her home. So she's Mr. Mom and she's Mr. Dad. So,
okay,
or should I say Mrs. Mom and Mrs. Dad? But anyway.
Right.
So yeah, man, Toronto, you had a good week, bro?
Oh yeah, I can't complain. You know, ups and downs, but you know, I'm still looking forward, and I'm still not gonna forget the good things. You know, I mean, I think it's like what you said last night that, you know, the enemy wants you to ignore the 80% and focus on, you know, the few hairs that are out of place instead of realizing that, you know, you're standing and breathing and living and able, and then you kind of miss out on the blessing that it is just to be in existence. And so, yeah, I had a good week, man, with all the ups and downs.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned ups and downs. You know, my the past few months for me have been filled with many ups and downs. But, you know, one thing I can say is that even when sometimes you forget, you know, again, we're all human and we can become affected by the things that are going on around us. But it's good to have people in your life that can bring you back into reality in a way that is going to edify you, not antagonize you, you know what I mean?
Yes, right.
And it's a blessing, man. So yeah, absolutely, man. It's a good thing. But you know what? I want to get into today's news. And guys, you know, if before we get into today's topic, you know, we want to give you the phone number so you can call in. The number to call us, of course, is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Can We Talk Radio? That's who we are. That's what we do. I am your host, Raz Williams, and of course, we have Mr. Ronnie Ambrose as my co-host. So, with that said, we're going to talk about some news, and I came across an interesting story, Ronnie, and this was titled "Detained for Entry." Found this on the EX Ministry website, and it says a rapper cuts up penis in suicide attempts and reattached fails, report says. And a rapper who worked with members of the group Wu-Tang Clan cut up his penis and jumped from a second-floor balcony in an apparent suicide attempt. Andre Johnson was found on the sidewalk outside an apartment building in West Hollywood at 1 a.m. on Wednesday morning and taken to Cedar Sinai Hospital in critical condition. A spokesman for the hospital said it does not comment on patients, but TMZ reports that attempts to, and I hate you mentioned TMZ, but anyway, but reports that attempts to reattach Johnson's penis failed. Johnson is also known by the stage name Christ Bearer and is in the rap group North Star. Wu-Tang Clan founding member RZA produced North Star's debut album. Members of North Star told TMZ they were there when Johnson, without warning, cut off his penis and leaped. They said by the time they got downstairs, he was whining around screaming. They also said hard drugs were not involved, and believe Johnson must have had mental problems. Ronnie, that's a very bizarre story, man. It kind of sounds like the money position to me. So what's your take on that story, man?
Oh, no, well, my take on it is that it's absolutely you first thing, you can't do something like that unless you're totally oppressed. Totally oppressed. And the thing is, whether people believe it or not, there's a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle for the souls of humanity going on, raging on, you know. And this guy right here definitely under some serious torment. You know, I would have to really check out his upbringing and if I would be able to dialogue with him to find out, you know, some of the things that he was dealing with. Because if you look, he's in a group called the North Star, okay? And then he's calling himself the Christ Bearer. And so they're dealing, those two titles right there let me know that we're dealing with people who are dabbling in metaphysics, witchcraft, however you want to label it, but they're dealing with metaphysical sort of understanding of reality, knowing that there's more to life than what we see. And so I'm sure he considers Christ to be a concept because, you know, that's really borderline blasphemy to say that you bear Christ apart from, you know, accepting the spirit of truth and accepting the life, the death, burial, and resurrection. And so he obviously wasn't a Christian rapper because RZA and the Wu-Tang Clan, they're known for being five percenters, and five percenter doctrine is really anti-Christ. So the thing is, they're dabbling. By the titles of his group and the title of himself, you can tell that he's dabbling with spirituality. But the thing about it is, these demons, they're not playing. While you're dabbling, they're seriously taking you on a crash course because they're at war with the creation of God, and that's us. And so this right here, you know, my heart goes out for him. But the thing about it is, he's not the only one going through this kind of torment. Some have more strength to hide it than others. He just happened to snap. If you remember when Charlie Sheen was doing his thing, that was the same oppression that Charlie Sheen was going through. He just manifested it different. I myself personally, before I was saved, there's a lot of spiritual issues to where, you know, things are going beyond your five senses. And you don't know if you're in control of them or if you're being manipulated by them or if people around you are manipulating you. And so you get put in a state of confusion, and this is the kind of reaction that you would have. And so, and we all know that the entertainment world, you know, doesn't exist without principalities and powers that rule, you know, rule over them. And the thing is, when these entertainers give themselves over to that life or to that industry, or to that principality, they're subject to it. And so when they try to rebel against it, this is what you get, you know. And then, you know, he's definitely a casualty of spiritual war. And, you know, like I said, this is what's happening to your favorite entertainer. He's no different than Michael Jackson. He's no different than the rest of them. It's just some know how to cope better than others. But, you know, coping with oppression doesn't keep you from being oppressed. You just know how to, you know, grin and bear it. And so this guy obviously found a snapping point, and he snapped under the same, you know, spiritual pressures that all of them and us are subject to if we're not lined up with the spirit of truth. So that's rough. And if they don't feel bad about TMZ, they broke the Michael Jackson story. So, hey, you know,
right.
They got
absolutely
some credibility.
But, yeah, you mentioned something very important there, and it's, again, you know, not to prematurely talk about the topic about today's topic, but, you know, you said foundation of truth, and I think that the world we live in right now is, there's so much negativity around us, there's so many trials and tribulations that we as believers have to contend with, spiritual attacks, spiritual warfare, as well as that manifests in the natural at the same time while you're being spiritually attacked, and those things can be very tormenting in your mind. And so when things like this happen, do you go crazy? Do you flip out, or or do you get depressed? I mean, we just talked that we both had challenging weeks. I've had the past few months have been challenging for me, and it's been very hard to really, you know, in my human power, it's been very hard to snap out of it, you know. But again, we have to really realize that the Father loves us. And we're his righteousness,
yeah.
and he's not going to leave us. So that foundation of truth is so important, you know, especially in this time and age that we're living in, where there's so much out there that really wants to destroy your mind and torment your mind. You know, what do you think about that, Ronnie?
No, it's absolutely true. That's why I said what he was going through was no different than what any of us go through. It's just that he snapped. This is what happens when you have nothing else to hold on to. You get put in a corner, and you start to rely on yourself, and you forget that God is with you, and he'll never forsake you. Or maybe you're not aware that you have the opportunity to have God with you so that he never leaves you, and, you know, you take matters into your own hands. And unfortunately, the thing is, this is how you know it's the devil, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy tried to steal his manhood, destroy his body, kill the man by having him commit suicide. This was all that's the plan of the enemy. You got to look at it like this: the devil didn't force Eve to partake of the fruit. He just put it in her mind, and then she didn't hold on to the word of God. She went with what the devil put in her mind. So the devil's putting stuff in this young man's mind and then letting him carry it out on himself is what the devil does. And so it's the same for us. We're going through stuff, and the enemy is the prince and power of the air, throwing things in your thought life, attacking your thoughts. And like you said, if your foundation is not true, you're going to fall for his suggestions. So that's what the enemy gives. You know, he's giving you suggestions, and if these suggestions are affecting your psyche and your soul, you know, you might give in and then be like the brother that jumped out the window from the Wu-Tang thing. It's the same oppression that just happened. And I know if we start to look and dig in the files, we'll see there was plenty of stories, a lot of rappers. You see, music people are spiritually sensitive people, whether it's hip-hop or not, just because they got the tough, you know, facade, or they're known for smoking and drinking, and they talk about violence. They're still music people, spiritual people at heart, you know. And there is even a play, if you read the book Kings, you know, the musicians have a special place in spiritual order when it came to the temple and going to battle. So we shouldn't despise the role of music people just because it's hip hop or rap. He's still a spiritually sensitive guy, that the torment hits him harder than it would somebody else. And so that's why it manifested so strong, because, you know, he's spiritually sensitive. But absolutely, without the right guidance or foundation, you know, you're subject to the powers and principalities that are attached with that lifestyle.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those of you listening right now, and, you know, a lot of you are dealing with so many different issues of life, and you know, and you can make the choice to allow the things that are bombarding your mind and really in your life that are really a problem to make you go crazy, to be depressed, or to be you know down on yourself, or beating yourself up, or allow, because the devil, Satan, uses people, believe it or not, he will use people to speak things into your spirit that will not speak truth, God's truth, into your life. It will not edify you. It will just rather bring you down. So at that point, you know, you have to guard your heart. You have to guard your mind. You have to remember who you are in Christ. And those of you who don't know Christ, I mean, you know, yeah, you can try to use willpower, mental power to brush it off. And, you know, but at the same time, that only takes you so far. You know, it only goes so far, man, that the trials of life sometimes can be too much. And as you've seen in this example, and Ronnie, another example I want to bring up was remember that R&B singer Houston. He was spiritually attacked when he was in my hometown, London, England, and he plucked out his eye in the hotel room because he said that, you know,
exactly,
demons were oppressing him. And he
exactly.
and he plucked out his eye based upon the scriptures. Just take if your eye offends you, pluck it out. So that's
now,
another example right there.
That's one. There's so many. You know, Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys shot himself in the face, shot his own eye out. And what do they have in common? They don't have a relationship with God. They might have a warped reverence without knowledge. You know, you understand? But they're spiritual people at heart because they love music. Music is something that's spiritual. And so you got these guys. There's so many stories out there, you know. And these are just the ones that break the surface. But, you know, music people are subject to this kind of torment. And, you know, until they line up with the Father, you know, the spiritual laws are set. You know, it's up to you to make the right choice.
Absolutely. I want to discuss another article, and this one is titled "Why Are More Christians Willing to Have Sex Before Marriage?" And again, we're talking, for those listening who might know me, it said, "Well, Raz, don't be a hypocrite." And I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm just talking about this article. Can I do that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So this says that in a recent study conducted by ChristianMingle.com, Christian singles between the ages of 18 to 59 were asked, would you have sex before marriage? The response was 63% of the single Christian respondents indicated yes. In my 30 years of youth and adult ministry experience, according to this writer, this is as unfiltered, direct, and honest as Christians as pretty much he asked. And it pretty much says that across the board, men and women were both willing to compromise themselves sexually without, you know, any remorse whatsoever. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And according to him, he says that even though they proclaim to be Christians, but sexually they're atheists. And so I wanted to bring that up for discussion and see what you thought about that.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of carnal people claiming to be spiritual, and you know they really don't realize that they might believe, but it hasn't changed their actions. It doesn't govern what they do and what they don't do. And you know,
Can you say, Ronnie, that possibly it could be carnal, but maybe they do love God, but maybe they haven't they haven't learned how to bring themselves bring their bodies under subjection. Do you see what I'm saying?
You're right. And that's just what I was going to say, that I'm not saying they don't love God or heaven or things of that nature. It's just that there's something that hasn't matured in their walk to where the flesh is still strong enough to make them do what they don't want to do. I'm not saying that's what they want to do. I'm sure they don't feel the same about themselves when the act is complete. You know, I'm sure there's a level of shame and, you know, they shouldn't have done it, and, you know, I'm sure there's a remorse there. But what's lacking is the putting the flesh under subjection of the spirit. And so, you know, it's tougher than that. And plus, I feel sorry for single Christians because there really is no etiquette as far as how do they go about courting. When is it time to do this? When is it time to do that? And, you know, are we dating or are we looking for a future person to marry in the future? And so I think it's rough being a single Christian, but it also that doesn't excuse the fact that the Bible's clear. You know, it's just if it's sex outside of marriage, it's fornication. And fornicators don't have a place in the kingdom of God. And so that should be enough to make you at least not want to lose your place in the kingdom of God, but then there's no training. And so, you know, I just wish that there was more training on being single and dating and preparing yourself to be married, because the Bible says it's better for you to marry than burn in lust, because you're going to have a desire to have sex. And so it's better to have your own husband or wife. And so, cool, but you know, the institution doesn't really provide a system that is biblical as well as practical for these singles to, you know, either get to where they got to get, meet the person, you know, what's the criteria before we just get married, you know what I mean? And so I think it's pretty rough. You know, I don't know if it's fortunate, but, you know, me and my wife were married before we got saved, but we were definitely having sex out of wedlock, but we were, you know, we didn't mind being sinners, but that's why I had to say it has to be rough to be single, saved, and looking for someone because, you know, this, it's just, it's very sensitive. And then, like I say, if you don't have the flesh in check, you know, you might have intended on just going for a walk in the park, but then your flesh will tell you what it wants to do. You know, and so it's rough. But I believe that if, back to fellowship, I believe that if the fellowship was strong, because the Bible says the older ones are supposed to teach the younger ones, you know. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to do their thing, and the older men are supposed to encourage the younger men to do things right. And so if we were on fellowshipping the way that we should, being a family, 7 days a week instead of just 2 days out of the week, you know, it'd probably be better because then accountability would be higher. You know, sometimes accountability helps out a lot in decision-making. If you know you're going to be letting a group of people down, you know, you might think twice. But I just know that being single, saved, and dating, you know, I really feel for them because that has to be a rough terrain because you're dealing with the flesh on a high level right there.
Right, absolutely. All right, well, that's it for my news this week. Guys, if you have a question or comment and you want to call in and talk to us, please give us a call at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, tonight's show, guys, is titled, What is Your Foundation? What is your foundation? And we're going to do something a little different this week, and I'm going to allow my co-host, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose, to take the floor as we go on to discuss today's topic. Go ahead, Ronnie.
All right. Thanks, Raz. And so, like the topic was said earlier, what is your foundation? You know, really, as simple as it sounds, it actually permeates throughout your whole life, whether you're saved or unsaved. You really want to consider your foundation. You know, if there's some builders or construction guys out there, you know that the foundation of the building that you're building has to be sound, or else what you're putting on that foundation is going to succumb to the elements, to earthquakes. It just won't last. And so you want to be dealing with something that's true, something that's proven, something that's sound as your foundation, because your foundation actually affects the way you view things. Your foundation actually affects some of the actions and the decisions that you make. Some of the things that you allow might be based on, you know, really where your foundation is. And sometimes you might run into people that are questionable. It's not, you really shouldn't get upset about what they've done. That's off kilter, but try to figure out what their foundation is, and you'll find the reason why that their logic or their worldview is as it is. And so here's a quick definition for foundation. It says the basis on which a thing stands, is founded, or is supported, an underlining support. And so I said that it's an underlining support. It's what you base your life, your decisions on. And so we're going to look at or ask the listeners here to really put into perspective what is your foundation. And so, you know, one thing I wanted to say here is depending on what your foundation is, you know, you can pretty much get a clue of if you are right standings with God and creation. And I know there might be some non-believers here, but you got to realize that if you exist because something causes you to exist. And us people who believe in the Bible know that it's God Almighty that causes us to exist. And we know that there was a time where man was walking with God, and then there was a time where man separated himself from God. And now you have a choice as a person walking on this earth to reconcile with God through Christ. And if Christ is your foundation, you're in right standing with God. And if you're in right standing with God, you take his word as your standard or what you follow. And so that's just, you know, pretty much the gospel. And so this is the reason why we're saved. But we live in a world where, you know, things are kind of evil. And so I just want to share this scripture before I get back with you, Raz. This scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the scripture is telling you as a believer, and this is good advice for the non-believer, that you don't want to conform to this world system. Because the thing is, when you're conforming to the world, you're following it, you're obeying it, you're upholding it, you're heeding to it, you're accepting it, you respect it, you defer to it, you honor it, and you admire it. And so the thing is, we can't be conformed to this world system because it doesn't belong to God, it belongs to the devil. If you look in the Bible, it's clear to tell you that Satan is the god of this world. And so for this first part, I want to direct this to believers that if you're of the world, you're honoring and deferring and respecting and accepting the things that come from the devil. And so the pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, these things are not of the Father, but they're definitely of the world. And if that's your foundation, then your foundation is not sound and it's not built on truth. And so I want to, you know, open this question to you. The first point to you is that being conformed to this world for a believer is something that they shouldn't do. You want to, you know, kind of elaborate on that part, Raz?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, me and you had a conversation about this a couple of days ago when we gave different scenarios, like examples of, you know, us being in the world and you know, years back, and when we were talking about men and women, in particular with women, as far as when you see a, you know, a beautiful woman and, you know, she's dressed a certain way, she professes to be a Christian, but at the same time her clothing and her conduct in public, you know what I mean, and certain things that, you know, and I'm not picking on women. That was just the focus of our conversation at that particular time, but it was not, the foundation was shaken because it was more of the world than it was, you know, based upon Christ. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what we had talked about, and it kind of reminds me, you know, I was thinking about this topic myself personally, and I think about the fact that if you have a vision for your life, and you know it has to be aligned with your faith. Like if you want to build your life, your career, your friends, family, you have to have a foundation that supports that vision. You know, a firm foundation, you know that you embark on today is going to shape how you live for many years to come. Like, you know, like we talked about, and everyone knows about building a home. You know, if that foundation is weak, then of course it's not going to stand. And that can be the same thing for me, myself, Lonnie. You even know some of my own life examples that even in relationships and things of that nature, when you don't do your due diligence, when you don't take the time to build that, on a foundation that is strong, that is built upon truth and just built upon solid principles. You know what I mean? That can withstand the test of time. If without that, then you're opening yourself up for problems and just issues in life, what can become hard for you. You know, so yeah, that's my comment on that.
No, you're right. Just like you were saying, if you got a sister who claims to be saved and you love God and, you know, you want to be seen as a godly woman, or you want to live in a way that's acceptable, you want to give yourself as a sacrifice to God that's acceptable, you don't go looking for a guy the way the world does it. See, we're peculiar. That word peculiar means different. So, you know, of course, you know, the world will tell a chick, if you want to get a guy, you know, show him some cleavage, show him some leg and some shoulder, and you got him. Well, that's using your flesh to attract somebody who's interested in your flesh, and that's what you'll get. Because you use the bait. The bait that you lure them with is the bait that you got to keep them with. So if you reel them in with just your flesh, then he's only interested in just your flesh, and he doesn't care about your mind or how you feel, what you do or what you want. He wants what you presented to him. You presented your body, you presented your skin, you presented, you know, your shape and your curves, and so that's how you're going to have to keep them. And so the minute something happens to you to where you can't present yourself that way anymore, he's not interested because the foundation was carnal. But if you allow yourself to be Proverbs 31 person where your beauty comes from inside out, he loves the way you think. He loves the way you produce. He loves the way that you say a thing and then you do a thing. He loves the way that he can count on you. He can pass a baton to you without looking behind him, and he knows you'll pick it up. He knows that you fulfill that role of being a helper, not because you're some kind of slave or you're weak, but because the man is in need of help, and he knows he can trust you to help him. He don't have to beg you to help him. You understand? So when he starts to love you for that, the things that don't fade away, now you got a proper foundation that's not built on carnality. Now the body and the love and the sex and the physical stuff is just a bonus to the love that you really have. And so,
the problem is that a lot of you know, women that I talk to, they don't understand that, and they do things backwards. And men too, I got to be careful, you know, mm-hmm. Razzy or some other women. But they do things backwards. And I think it's because that I think society has such a strong pull that they don't feel accepted or you know, there's women out there that wear, so you know what you do. You wear certain clothes. You wear tight leggings, showing your butt, your thongs and whatnot, and, you know, and you don't feel good unless men look at you. That makes you feel good about yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm a dime. Dime what? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I mean.
That means
you're just
10 out of 100.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, there's beautiful women all over the world, man. I mean, wherever you go, I mean, there's going to be someone more pretty than you. Bigger breasts, bigger this, bigger that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, where does it end? Like, I mean, you are beautiful because of Christ, because of how God made you, and because God values you, God died for you. That's what makes you beautiful. All this other stuff really is immaterial, man. And the things that you can do for a man, the things that encourage him, build him up. When he's down, you pray for him, you cover him, you speak positivity into the king inside of him, not tear him down. That's what makes you truly beautiful. That's what makes you want to be kept. I rest my case.
That's real. No, but that's true. But the thing is, you caught on to it. If they're using society's model as their foundation, then that's what they're going to do. Because remember, society tells you it needs to be a certain way. If it doesn't look like if you don't look like the people that society deems as beautiful, then you're not beautiful. What are the qualifications of being beautiful according to society? All you have to do is look good. You can be miserable, can't read, diseased, but as long as you look good, you'll make the covers. You'll make the news. You'll be popular because they're only interested in the flesh, the outside appearance. But the Bible says God doesn't judge man by his outside appearance. He judges man by what's inside of the man, his heart. And so you got a lot of, you know, sexy people, sex symbol type people, according to society standards, that, you know, don't have a good heart, that aren't happy, that are depressed. You know, they find that their flesh is a curse because nobody cares about how they feel inside. But we look up to them. Well, I don't, but society tries to make you look up to them so that, you know, you feel that they're something that you're not, when it's not true. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Fat, short, tall, however you put it, God made that person in his image. But that has to be your foundation. If society rules your foundation or is your foundation, then you can't go right, because society is a branch of the world. The world, the god of this world is the devil. And so if you let society be your ruler, you know, I mean, meaning what you measure yourself by, if you let society be that for you, then you actually being ruled by the standards of the devil and not God. And so that's why society cannot be your foundation. And then this kind of eases me into the next thing I wanted to talk about, was culture. You know, people want to limit their existence to culture and let culture be their foundation, or, you know, let your race be your foundation. Like, oh, you know, I'm black, so blacks do it like this, or they're white, so whites do it like this. And, well, really, according to the Bible, I'm a new creation when I'm in Christ. I'm no longer white, black, rich, poor. I'm no longer these labels from the world, but I've been labeled by God as a new creation, and I need to function as a new creation. And if my foundation is what the Word says, I'll never be dissatisfied with myself or feel inadequate, because I'm in right standings with God. That's worth more than any accolades that this world will have for you. And so that's what I wanted to say. Let's deal with limiting yourself to culture. You know, like to be godly is not a culture thing. To be godly is a spiritual thing. And so you got anything to say about how culture is shaping the minds of believers and non-believers alike?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I want to read Luke 14:28-30. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. And, you know, we're talking about building a foundation. You know, what is your foundation? And when you're building a foundation upon the pillars of culture, is building a foundation on nothingness, because this culture is fleeting, it's temporal, it's passing, it's always ever changing. Because we talked about, Ronnie mentioned earlier on, that Satan, who is the god of this world, he formulates, controls, dictates, influences this modern day present culture. So if you base your identity on the and your foundation upon this culture, it is not going to last. You're building it on something that's what I describe as being dark light, not the light of God's word and God's truth. And so as people, as citizens of the human race, we have a choice to either build our foundation of life based upon the word of God, or we can base it upon on the pillars of society, on this modern-day culture. And for me personally, I've done both, and I can safely tell you that choosing a foundation based upon Christ Jesus is the best way, because that's the foundation that gives you more security. It gives you more peace. It gives you more certainty in times of trouble, when you're having people blow their brains out doing all kinds of craziness because they have no hope, because their foundation is not, when the trials of life hit. See, a foundation is really your protection, because that's what really grounds you and roots you. But when you plant your foundation in a society that can say one thing next minute, this is in this minute, that's in that next month, and it's always changing, how do you base your self-worth on something like, I don't know how you do that. So I think that if you're basing your foundation upon this modern day culture, upon the music or whatever part of the culture tickles your fancy, I think that you're in for a rude awakening. I think that it's very dangerous. I think that it can be very devastating to your whole existence. Period.
Well, Tom, yeah, that's true. And so, man, I totally agree. You know, I'm glad you brought that up that way, because that's pretty much how it is, you know. Despite how how difficult or how intricate people try to, religions have tried to make spirituality seem, it's really simple. There's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. That's really it, you know. The difference between the two is one is eternal and one is going to come to end. One leads to eternal life and one leads to total separation for eternity from the Father. Like I said, there's only two kingdoms, okay? And so you don't want your foundation to be built on the kingdom of darkness. And I don't mean dark, like dark skin or anything, and light, like white skin. I'm just saying that one is from God and one is not from God. There's two kingdoms. It's not that difficult, you know. And another difference between the two is there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, the Savior, that died for humanity. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. The thing about the kingdom of darkness, there's many, many ways to find the enlightenment, like Raz said, the dark light, you know. And so some people think that the darkness that they have is light. Some people think that the soothsaying that they do, some people think that the giving in to, like, this is really, none of it is modern, but it's mysticism, you know. Instead of lining up with the scriptures and giving myself to God for eternal life, I'll make my own pathway to God when the Bible says there's only one way. And so some people want to use the Kundalini route. They want to use the meditation route. They want to self-medicate. They want to, you know, there's so many branches of mysticism out there that you can get lost, die in your sin, looking for the truth. And unfortunately, yeah, I do have to admit that, you know, when you look at the Christian institution, I'm not saying the Bible by itself, I'm saying the Christian institution leaves room for doubt too, because of the many denominations, the many customs that are extra-biblical, and so that could lead somebody astray too. But if you just deal with the Bible by itself, it'll tell you that God created everything, gave it over to man to have dominion over it. Satan tricked man, and so man lost his position with God. But God provided a way for us to be reconciled with him, and that's through the Savior. If you're dealing with the Bible alone, that's what you'll deal with. And when you come to God through the Savior, your foundation is eternal, and your foundation is accessible because we have been given these scriptures to know God's will. And so when we're dealing with the kingdom of darkness, we're dealing with so many paths to enlightenment that lead to nowhere. And so, you know, let your foundation be what is true, you know, and do the investigating to see that that's what it is. So I just wanted to demystify the whole spiritual thing. There's only two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, which is of this world, from Satan, kingdom of light, which is eternal and before the world began and is from the Father of creation. And so I wanted to say that, but I do want to say this. If your foundation is gaining acceptance, you're subject to do any and everything just to get that acceptance. And you get that a lot. You see it with entertainment where we're dealing with acceptance. You see it where you got a kid artist who grew up as a little sweet, little, you know, innocent thing, and when they get a certain age, they can't just mature and be an adult. They have to get older and be some wild, reckless sex fiend or you know, sex-driven thing to be accepted as something that they probably aren't. And so if just trying to get acceptance is your foundation, that's weak too. Because if you want the world to accept you, you have to realize the world is carnal and they're never, the flesh is never, ever satisfied. Like Raz said, you might see a beautiful woman or a beautiful car for that matter. As soon as you see that one, you'll look around the corner and there's another better, a more beautiful car or more beautiful thing that attracts you, that means your eyes are never satisfied. And so if you're looking to be, if your foundation is trying to be accepted by society or by a certain group or crowd based on you know, the flesh or being carnal, you'll never win. You'll have to overexhaust yourself. That's why we got the plastic surgery. That's why we have, you know, the lap bands and the, you know, people go through such drastic measures to be accepted that you actually ruin the person that you are to be the person that they want you to be. Just to find out that since they're never satisfied, you'll never be enough. But if you put that same amount of energy into being pleasing to God according to his word, you'll find that you will be living a life of peace and dominion that's greater than the acceptance of this world. So I just wanted to say that. What do you think about these, the living for acceptance of the world and ignoring what qualifies you before God? Brad?
No, absolutely. I think that's another conversation. We definitely talked about this before too, Ronnie. And you know, unfortunately, we live in the world, and it may not just be living in the world. It could be just be from your upbringing, the family socialization. You know, we have a yearning for. Sometimes, if we're not loved properly, we don't know that we're loved. We have this sense of wanting to belong and wanting to be accepted. It's being accepted. People want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to know that they're valued in this world. Excuse me. And therefore, part of the trap, you know, when living in this culture is, you know, for example, the fashion. Every year something new comes out in summer, winter, spring. Different types of clothes come out and different hairstyles come out. And when you like right now, I noticed that the guys are having these side parts in their hair. That's the common trend right now. So everybody's doing it because they want to be accepted. They want to be known as being cool, you know, as part of being accepted. And no one's really, I mean, I don't know if people, when they do that, they really are questioning, like, I mean, why am I doing this? Like, you know, I like it. It's okay to like it, but at the same time, are we doing it because you want to fit in and you want to be accepted, you know? So, I mean, being accepted, the need to belong, it definitely can cause you to do some very stupid things. You know, it can cause you to put yourself in very compromising situations, and all because you've placed too much value upon what they think about you versus what God says about you, and as if what they say about you is true. And one of the things that, as believers, we have to realize that you're not who people say you are, you're not who people think you are, you're not who your environment or institution has restructured you to be. You're not what your parents think you are. You are who God says you are, meaning that you are an express image of God on this earth. You are his righteousness. You are blood washed. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his heavenly son. So those are the things that we have to know. We have to have a solution for everything that the world tries to do against us. We have to have a solution to combat that in our minds. And, you know, knowing that who we are in Christ, you know. So that's what helped me to really break away from certain things in the society that was really trying to abide for my attention, abide for my need to fit in, to be accepted, because I, you know, believing that I had to do a certain thing to be loved or to have friends. And so I hope that kind of explains your question.
Oh, yeah. That was some good insight. And so, but it's true. You know, we, like you said, with the hairstyles, you know, the trends, you know, things of that nature. As a believer, I got to address both. I'm addressing believers specifically right now. When you're following the trends that come from the world, what are you really doing? Where's your originality? What happened to that? What happened to being an individual here, you know, on this earth and expressing yourself? What happened to that? You know, it's easy to just get on the bandwagon and, you know, fit in and, you know, well, everyone has tattoos, so I'll get them too. Well, you don't know the guy that you're looking at. He might have earned his tattoos, and you didn't. You know, and you get yourself in a position where some of these trends that you're following are actually signals and actually statements that you can't really make because you can't prove yourself to be that kind of person. And so before you just hop on the bandwagon, consider why am I doing that? Why do I have to fit in so bad to where I don't like to just be myself? Why can't you just come up with your own style? You know, because definitely one of the reasons would have to be you trying to fit in. And, you know, you want to be accepted by the world. Because if you wanted to be accepted by God, God wants you to be you, original, what's on your heart, what he's placed in your heart he wants you to express. You know, and so that's absolutely true, man. And I also want to do this. I keep saying the world, and I said that Satan is the god of this world. And if anyone knows your scripture, if you're of the world or if you're not saved, you know, you're pretty much going along, going with the flow, you know. You're trying to be moral and you're trying to do what's right and, you know, you do what society deems is okay, you know. And so that's one way to go, but that does make you a follower. That's one thing people need to realize, you know. You coming against the Bible because it has a lot of rules or, you know, whatever misconception may be, when you reject the Bible and go along with the course of this world, you're following, you're still a follower. You're still subject and trapped to you know, the course or the trends or whatever is supposed to be accepted in society. So you're not actually being your own man. You're just being the man that society wants you to be. Society is ruled by the world, and Satan is the god of this world. And so the thing is, what I'm saying to the non-believer is when you come to God through Christ, you're being the man that God created you to be. And so either way, like I said, there's only two kingdoms. You're going to have to be subject to either to one of the two. And so the only difference between the kingdom of darkness, it gives you a false sense of doing what you want, but you're actually carrying out the will of the enemy, which, you know, in ignorance. And so the thing is, I just wanted to point that out, that when you reject the Bible to run with the world, you're actually subject to the world. When the world says men wear tight clothes, guess what you're going to do? You're going to wear tight clothes, not because you want to, but because you're being told to. When the world says, you know, we only live for the weekend, guess what you're going to do? You're going to live for the weekend because the world is telling you to, not because you want to. And so when you come to God through Christ, you're able to be the person that God created you to be. He allows you to be his son. He allows you to have peace and wisdom that surpasses understanding. He allows you to be operating in what's known as a kingdom of God mindset. And so, you know, things become easier for you and life becomes eternal. And so you're not trapped in the rat race. But I wanted to identify and uncover, I wanted to share this scripture with those that are out there, because maybe someone's never heard that before. But if you go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, well, let's see, 4:3. It says this: but even if our gospel is veiled, okay, and so this is someone who's coming with the word of God saying, if what I'm saying to you is not clear, it is veiled to those who are perishing, meaning it's not clear to those that have rejected it. And so whose minds the god of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so that's the thing about society, for believers and non-believers alike. The god of this world is Satan, and he's blinded the minds of the people. Blinded them. No, I know you're like, I'm not blind. I can see. I can, yeah, but the thing that you don't see is what you need the most. And that's the the fact that God entered time and space and became salvation for you to live forever. So if you don't see that, no matter what you achieve, it still ends up with you having to die twice because you didn't choose eternal life. And so the God of this world is actually blinding people's minds by putting pacifiers in their mouths as far as look at the news that we're dealing with. Look at what's popular. Look at what's promoted the most. You know, it's really a bunch of distractions. Nothing is really sound and nothing is really eternal or really matters. It's just all entertainment. There's no education. It's all entertainment. And so I just wanted to expose the fact that, you know, the God of this world is doing his job on those. So the non-believers, I pray that you don't get offended when the Bible says you're perishing because you're living your life outside of your purpose. And so you're not even functioning on all cylinders because you're not lined up with God. And for the believers, if you're following the trends that come from the world, you're following the trends of the God of this world. And if you call yourself a believer, but you've submitted yourself to the things that Satan allows, how much of a what are you really believing? You got to ask yourself, what is my foundation? Is my foundation in the Word, or is my foundation in the world? Meaning, can I see my actions in the Bible, or do I see what I'm doing out here on these streets? Or in these, what is that, in these reality shows? Do I pattern myself after what God calls me to be by reading his word? Or do I pattern myself after what I see the popular rapper, singer, actor, mogul, or the person who has esteem in this world? And so you want to pattern yourself after the people who mean something to God, instead of the people who are just perishing because they're separate from God. So I just wanted to say that, and, you know, that's pretty much all I have for the topic. Raz, did you want to add anything to it?
I mean, pretty much what you've been talking about really is laying a solid foundation. It's the first step in really developing your life on this earth, because when you become all that God has created you to be, you know, having that foundation will enable you to really be successful in so many areas of your life, because it will, for example, it'll enable you to make wise decisions because you have biblical strategies for seeking God's will in every decision and making wise spirit-led decisions. And that's one area in my life that I you know, not having a firm foundation has caused me to make unwise decisions. And having a firm foundation also allows you to develop your faith, you know. It helps you to overcome the enemy and all the people that will try to come against you and try to talk you out of the truth of who you really are. You know what I mean? But because you have a firm foundation, nobody can tell you who you are, because God has already laid that foundation for you. He's already told you who you are. That can't shake you. So there's so many benefits from having a firm foundation in this life, man. You know, everybody knows the analogy of the story of a house that was built on sand, a house that was built on rock. Two identical houses. They look all the same. They both look custom homes. They look really beautiful. But what is the difference? The difference is, and I'm going to say this, they were built from the same materials. They all have the same features each house has. But the difference is, when the issues of when the storms came against those houses, what had changed was each foundation was different, and one could not stand while the other did. And it's the same thing with what we're talking about. When life hits you, when people come against you, turn on you, when there's financial situations coming against you, when things are not in your favor, how are those things going to affect your foundation? How is it going to affect your life? What determines how you respond to those things is your foundation. So that's my comment.
Well, that's what's up. I just wanted to add that in John 17:16, this is a time where the Savior is getting ready to go, and he's letting it be known, you know, that the people that came to him, that came to God through him, they are not of this world just as he was not of this world. And we need to keep that in mind, that we're not of this world, you know. There's a lot of things out here that are being done that we're not even called to partake in. And we got to keep in mind that we're not of this world. And I said, I gave a couple of reasons why being of this world isn't the best thing to be. Satan is the god of this world. That's why we're not of this world. You know, if everyone just take a stop and take a look and see, what am I following? Am I following people or am I following God? Am I following my own will or am I just doing what everybody else is doing? You know, and so that's pretty much all I wanted to just let it be known that if you're a believer, you're not of this world. And if you're not a believer, you really don't want to be of this world, because this world has an end to it. And there's going to come a time, even if you were to die, there's no one that is going to escape the judgment, you know, that is to come, and that's eternal. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to die twice. You can be born again and die once and, you know, be in right standing with God. So just be not of this world.
Absolutely. And, you know, a couple of scriptures that I wanted to read to you was Matthew 7:24. I'm not sure if you already read this, but it says, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And 1 Corinthians 11:13 says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So that's just like life. Like, I mean, when your foundation in who you are is not strong, when the issues of life hit you, then it will really reveal to you what your foundation, when you have a relationship, even in a marriage, in a relationship, that relationship has to be built on a firm foundation, because when the storms of life hit, if it's not a foundation, it's not going to last. If that person who entered into the situation is if they're not on a firm foundation, then they can be easily be shaken. What do you think about that, Ronnie?
And it's absolutely true. It actually will manifest. The foundation that you're standing on will show what you're made of. The foundation is what you're putting what you're made of on this foundation. And all of it together is what you've built, you know. And unfortunately, if the foundation isn't Christ and it isn't solid and it isn't eternal, you know, it's not going to take much for you to implode or be blown away or come apart or crack, you know what I'm saying? So you want to really check, what is my foundation? What am I building my worldview upon? What am I really standing on when I'm making these statements and making these decisions? Am I making them because where I'm standing is firm, or have you even considered what your foundation was? And so, you know, I just hope that this conversation that we had tonight would help someone to really either reassess their relationship with Christ by saying, I chose my foundation to be Christ. Do my actions display that? You know what I'm saying? Let me reassess my foundation. That doesn't mean, you know, start all over. You know, you don't lay down a foundation again. You build on a foundation from where you left off. And so what you want to do is, if your foundation is Christ, is go ahead and make sure that my lifestyle, my decisions are lining up with it. I'm not talking about your mistakes. When you make a mistake, you quickly go to God because he's faithful to forgive you. And mistakes are premeditated things. So I'm not dealing with mistakes. I'm dealing with what you're building on the foundation of Christ. You know, is your lifestyle and your attitude, your expectations, and your humility, is it on the level that matches the foundation you claim? And if you're in the world and you don't have a relationship with Christ, really take a look at your foundation. Does it change every 4 or 5 years because there's a new trend going on? Is it solid? Is it relative? You really don't want something that's relative. Truth is not a relative thing. Truth is true or it's not true. You know what I'm saying? So you want to be really considering, I don't have a relationship with God. What is my foundation? Now that you know that whatever your foundation is, it's going to affect how you treat your kids, your family, your life. When things come upon you, your foundation might determine whether you implode or not or kill yourself or not. So you really want to assess your foundation and make the right choice. Like I said over and over again, eternal life is at hand. All you got to do is accept it, and that's by accepting Christ.
Absolutely. I think we have a caller here from the 213 area code. Hello, caller. You have a question or comment? All right, just a second. I just want to listen in. All right, well, I guess that's it for the show, Brother Wani. Do you have any closing comments?
No, well, just I want to encourage everybody to, you know, just check the world around you. You feel what I'm saying? Make the right decisions, because the decisions that happen on earth are temporary. It's what you do in the spirit that's eternal. And, you know, once again, I just say, encourage anybody to accept eternal life. The Bible by itself is offering eternal life. I'm not dealing with religion. I'm not dealing with cliques or denominations. I'm dealing with the Bible by itself says that whoever believes in the one that was sent to die for humanity will have eternal life, and it's true. And so I just encourage everybody to do that. And for non-believers, please investigate, what am I really standing on? What am I living for? What am I looking forward to? And, you know, I pray that that brings you into seeing that, you know, we're in need of this salvation. That's about it.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in to Can We Talk Radio. I'm your host, Raz Williams, and my co-host, Ron, did a good job today. Thank you, sir. Please tune in same time next week for the show, and we'll definitely be having a really hot topic of next week. And, you know, tune in and listen to the archives. You can download them to your iPhones, iPads, computers, all of that. So, guys, we hope you have a blessed weekend. And, you know, please definitely listen to the show again and listen to what we're trying to tell you as far as the importance of having a firm foundation in your life, be it a relationship, be it knowing who you are in Christ and knowing how to deal in this world that we live in. This world is getting crazier by the minute with so much weirdness going on. It's really important to have a foundation so that you can stay grounded and anchored to the things that are true, the things that are real, and that's Jesus Christ. So, guys, have a blessed one. We'll see you next week. Peace.